Support for this program is brought to you by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Hi, I'm Mitch Skinner, and tonight, Culture Q is totally gay.
I can't believe that in my lifetime it's gone from you can be institutionalized to you can get legally married. And yeah, for me it's a huge political piece.
This is a chance to be part of something historic and special and kind of a monumental moment. And if you're into it, then great. As athletes, we can make social change. We can have an effect on people's lives. And I think that it's incumbent upon us to do so in a positive way.
12 a.m., Thursday, August 1st, 2013. It's already a historic moment for Minnesota. The 12 strokes of the clock marked Minnesota's official recognition of same-sex marriage. No matter where you stand on the issue, it's a big deal. So we here at Culture Q decided to get in on the action. Tonight we have stories on wedding ceremonies and wedding music. We'll look at GLBT youth, as well as the culture of American sports. So get in line, because Culture Q starts right now. Much of the debate on same-sex marriage has surrounded determining the definition of marriage. Is it religious or romantic? Is it about love and commitment or medical insurance? After the passage of HF 1054, the bill legalizing same-sex marriages, pastors, reverends, and officiants are seeing their calendars filling up quicker than before. Producer Markita Fornoff has more.
In human history, we have not discovered a better way of life than sharing the love in a lasting and responsible
known
way.
Known on the web as Minnesota Marrying Man, Reverend Griffin Dunlop's summer weekends are always booked. This August, he's finding his Tuesday nights booked up too. But those nights are a little different from the commitment ceremonies he's done in the past.
With my same-sex couples, they've already been together for 15 years, so they're just looking to make it legal.
Reverend Dunlop described his own wedding as being straight out of the Lutheran hymnal, and something that didn't reflect his personality at all. So he wants to allow his couples to customize their ceremonies carte blanche.
The only thing that I've refused to do is do a ceremony in the nude.
Everyone has their limits. For Karen Hall Dale, those limits were a lot starker.
The thought of getting married was never going to be in my reality. That was never going to happen. So I didn't even think that I'd find somebody that I could be with for more than a week that wouldn't be beat up or, you know, killed or mugged or raped or whatever. Because, you know, the 70s and the 80s were not a great period of time to be coming out. And it's hard to put somebody you love into a situation that could get them killed.
Hall Dale didn't have a girlfriend when she came out in middle school, but she herself was in danger.
It was really hard. It was really, really hard. I got beat up all the way through high school. Barely made it through high school. Drank and drugged a lot. I think that I'm probably pretty typical of a lot of young gay youth that went through that. Teachers would bet on whether I would win fights or not. It was pretty awful.
But it wasn't just the people at school who she had to worry about. Hall Dale's mother threatened to put her in an institution, thinking that something was mentally wrong with her daughter.
You know, all she wanted was to grow up and have a happy family and beautiful children, which we are. And and then to find out that your kids aren't going to grow up and give you exactly what you wanted, which was the beautiful family and to come over every Sunday for dinner and to have grandchildren and blah, 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 I think devastated her for a long time. And she was just so angry. And sometimes that anger still comes out a little sideways.
Hall Dale's mom later joined Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays and started giving speeches at schools about having gay kids. Now, sexuality is something the family can joke about. But Hall Dale says it took a few years without communication in order for that to happen. And though they both love each other, their relationship, like any relationship, still has its rough patches.
Sometimes those antiquated thoughts and phrases kind of sneak out, and I have to remind her that, you know, when you make those kinds of comments, you're talking about me. And she's like, well, no, I'm not. I'm like, well, yeah, you are. You know, she slides back into her childhood thoughts and what it was like back then. So I can't really wrong her for the decade she was raised in.
But it's not just septuagenarians who can struggle with gay marriage. The very idea of gay marriage can overwhelm those you'd least expect. Again, Reverend Dunlop.
The one partner, the guy that I'm dealing with, mostly, he at one point says, you know, I'm sorry if I'm asking all of these stupid questions, but I'm so nervous about this. This is something that I never thought that I'd be doing, planning my wedding. You know, when he said that, just kind of, it struck a chord in me. When heterosexuals, when we grow up, we always think about our wedding day and what it's going to be like, and we have that plan in our head. And generally, I think people assume that they will be married at some point. But when you're growing up gay or lesbian, you don't plan on that.
Hall Dale and her wife Jane have even noticed a change in thinking among their own kids, who are now in their 20s.
One of our kids said that we weren't really a family because gay people couldn't get married. That was about 10 years ago. And now our children are just very supportive, and well, and they were young then. But just to watch them grow up into very accepting and affirming young adults is very satisfying. It's very cool.
Even though she no longer has to worry about trudging through her high school halls, the memories of the past are vivid enough that sometimes Halldale finds herself in disbelief of the present.
And the legality piece of it still kind of blows my mind. I can't believe that in my lifetime it's gone from you can be institutionalized to you can get legally married. And yeah, for me it's a huge political piece. And on the other side, I just have to recognize that it's just a piece of paper that somebody else validates something I've already known for 100 years.
For Culture Q, I'm Markita Fornoff.
One of the more underrated importances to a wedding is the music. It sets the scene for the event and can indicate whether the theme is more traditional or lively. With that in mind, I spoke with a couple local musicians about performing at Minnesota's first same-sex marriages. Yeah, I don't expect you to remember this, or I don't know if you remember this, but I actually interviewed you one time about Dungeons & Dragons. And now we're talking about gay marriage. So I guess my first question is, what do you do for a living?
Yeah, good question. Well, apparently I play D&D and I play weddings, I guess. I'm some kind of a wedding singer.
This is Jeremy Messersmith, and he's not just a wedding singer. He's a pretty popular local musician, and he supports gay marriage. So when he heard that Minnesota would start to issue marriage certificates to same-sex couples, he knew he had to get involved.
I was just really excited, and I just wanted to be a part of it. So I just kind of threw it out there on Twitter that I'd be up for playing any weddings, and I got a note from Mayor Ryback saying, "Hey, we're going to throw this big shindig. You want to participate?" I said, "Sure."
Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Ryback officiated several dozen weddings at the stroke of midnight last Thursday. Messersmith headlined the musical performances. Of course, the event wasn't about Jeremy Messersmith or R.T. Ryback. It was for the same-sex couples and same-sex couples everywhere. But Messersmith was excited just to be a part of Minnesota history.
In my pitch to the other musicians who ended up playing, I said, "Look, this probably isn't going to be glorious. We'll be playing in the middle of the night, you know, and everyone's working for free. But I said this is a chance to be part of something historic and special and kind of a monumental moment. And I, you know, if you're into it, then great." Let's make it the best damn weddings anyone's ever seen.
When you put people together and give them a song to sing, I think it reaches more than just their intellect. You know, it's not just a conversation. I think it touches them emotionally.
This is Ben Riggs. He's the artistic director for the Twin Cities Gay Men's Chorus. His group also performed at the best damn wedding anyone has ever seen. And Riggs thinks that music has had a big part in the strides LGBT rights has taken in the past couple years.
It's such a physical experience, kind of a primal experience, visceral, to hear a group of people singing together. And I think people listen a little bit differently to what you're singing than they would if you were just talking.
Wednesday night into Thursday morning was a big moment for the chorus. A year ago, they campaigned to stop the constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. They sang to push same-sex marriage into legality this year. So on wedding night, they really had something to be proud of.
And you could see it in their eyes when they arrived. And the atrium of City Hall in Minneapolis is really imposing place. It's you know, I don't know, 6 or 7 stories high and marble and a big giant statue. And they were sort of in awe of the location. And it is a great place to sing. So I'm so glad they invited a choir of, we maybe had 120 singing last night.
But thankfully, the chorus has had some practice with their songs. They performed 15 minutes of music, including the song Marry Us, which the group has been singing since even before Riggs got the artistic director gig.
I arrived and started conducting the chorus last August, and within, you know, 2 weeks, I was already out with the chorus at a rally in Loring Park, and we were singing Marry Us, and it was really, I think, just an amazing experience to come into a community that was fighting this battle already and had these traditions in this specific song, and see it through the defeat of that amendment, and then see it again in the spring through the amazing just victory of passing marriage equality.
But while the weddings might have helped promote some local musicians, they didn't steal the spotlight for too long.
The first two couples getting married will be open to everyone. Then what we're going to do is I'm going to kind of sing a song and lead everyone out. And then it'll be much smaller, more private ceremonies. And all we're doing from that point on is we're just kind of background noise. We are there just to set tone and mood. And if couples getting married have requests, we'll try to fill those as best we can.
And even Jeremy Messersmith, a straight married man, has some stake in marriage equality. Everybody has someone in their life affected by it. And for Messersmith, that means seeing more of his friends getting married.
So in that way, it's incredibly personal, and I hope that I hope that I can help kind of mark the occasion for all of them. So it's been something that I've supported for I guess several years now.
And that means he's probably going to be performing at several more weddings. He's not a wedding singer, but he plays the role often enough because it's a hard proposition to turn down.
Somebody's really special day, one of the most important days in someone's life, and you're being asked to play. So I try to say yes whenever I can to a wedding, even though I don't consider myself to be a wedding singer per se.
For Culture Q, I'm Mitch Skinner.
Marry me, John, marry me, John, I'll be so good to you. You won't realize I'm gone. Marry me, John, marry me, John, I'll be so sweet to you. You won't realize I'm gone.
Marriage really has a different definition for everyone. So with that in mind, new reporter Maddie Hamilton took on this week's question of the week, asking, what's your definition of marriage?
Make friends, make peace with death. For most mainly wanna win the game that came to win.
Okay, marriage is a union between two people that is legally recognized and is usually affiliated with a church or religion.
Two people who love each other.
How would I define marriage? Marriage is a commitment between two people who are in love with each other and want to spend their lives with each other and share all of the things that happen in that life.
I define marriage a commitment between two people.
That's a pretty good question. It's kind of hard to say nowadays, but I guess it's a vow between a man and a woman. I'll probably just leave it at that.
I would say it's a partnership and a collaboration.
A relationship between two people. A strong relationship between two people, I guess.
Happiness.
harmony, living a good life and have a good condition, and be a support with each other and live a happy life. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a tricky one. A legal institution.
Marriage, I would define it as a civil and legal commitment between two people for the benefit of society.
Many GLBT youth struggle with identity issues. It's often difficult to find acceptance from family and peers. Yet advocating for these young people is a challenge all on its own. Culture Q reporter Parker Lemke looks into GLBT youth advocacy.
I think everybody's got some stories to tell.
Lee Combs has been the voice of Fresh Fruit Radio, the longest-running queer radio show in the country, for about 15 years. Her involvement advocating for gay rights, however, predates even this.
I was part of the first lesbian Avenger group here in the 90s. We did things like we picked four different high schools and showed up at 7 in the morning when the buses came and stood on the sidewalk and said, we support GLBTQ youth, gave out suckers that said lick homophobia.
Lee has continued this youth-oriented activism with her current work running the GLBT Kids Abuse Intervention Program at the Family Partnership. This program helps kids aged 13 to 20 combat abuse and mistreatment related to their sexual or gender identity.
Most kids, whether they're gay or not, but especially gay kids or kids that might be a little different, hear anti-gay stuff in the halls all the time, you know, and that in and of itself is abusive.
Drew Sislak, a member of Delta Lambda Phi, a social fraternity for men of the LGBTQ community, was aware of this abuse.
I think it was a really common problem from where I was. It was a relatively conservative area, and the people who were out in high school weren't necessarily bullied all the time, but there was definitely some harsh feelings towards them.
According to Lee, this kind of harsh treatment often comes from who people think someone is and not who they actually are.
I know feminine males who identify as male, who identify as heterosexual, and they know what it's like to be gay bashed. I work with all kids. I don't say, oh, you're gay or you're not gay. Sorry, I don't work with you, or I do.
Many see the fight for same-sex marriage as the public face of the gay rights movement. But does legalization address the problems GLBT youth face every day?
When this whole marriage thing was going on, I wanted to write a piece that talked about, you know, we lost this battle for marriage because I don't care if they're gay or straight or bisexual. A lot of kids could care less about marriage. They liked winning the fight, but they don't see a lot of great examples of marriage. They don't understand why we're fighting about it.
Drew, however, still says that winning equal marriage rights is important.
It's great to see that people who have wanted to get married can finally get married. And it's great in that way. And it's great in terms of showing the youth that, hey, you can marry who you want.
But will it make the experience of being a gay young person better?
I think it's a really difficult question because marriage isn't for everyone. In terms of heterosexual marriages, the divorce rate for them have been going up so much. It will lead to things being more acceptable. I mean, overall, it's positive and it's great and it's progressive and it's where we need to keep going.
As someone who has decided to remain single herself, Lee says that there are other things besides marriage that young people are looking for.
I'd say they want families and relationships and children and stuff, but maybe not in the same way. Marriage has become about lawyers and divorce and, you know.
Another public face of gay rights are the pride events and parades in which the GLBT movement comes out in a show of strength and solidarity. But do these events help the teenage segment of the community?
I hope that it shows them some diversity of the community and people. I think it can be empowering for some. I think it can be disillusioning for some. I think it's a huge crowd and there's people that don't like crowds. There's a bigger beer garden this year and people smoking cigarettes all over the place. I mean, you know, so I'm not big into beer gardens and stuff, so.
Ultimately, Lee has her own techniques for advocating for GLBT youth, such as bringing young people together at clubs and events for workshopping, food, dancing, and fun, or online to connect with peers facing the same issues they are over the web. Because at the end of the day, it's not the spread of gay marriage that gives Lee hope for the future. It's young people who can learn to be more accepting.
I think we got a lot of work. I think we got a lot of work yet to do. I have a lot of faith, though, in this young generation. It's pretty amazing because the kids you used to think would be the ones, you know, like the jocks or the whatever, they're speaking up and they're speaking out and they're not having the same prejudices. I think it's pretty exciting. I hope. I pray.
For Culture Q, I am Parker Lemke.
It's not hard to find someone wearing a Twins cap or a Vikings jersey anywhere in the metro area. Sports are adored across the country, and Minnesota is no exception. But unlike any other cultural aspect of the state, sports are lagging in terms of gay and straight equality. Reporter Matt Curtis explores this issue and its effects within sporting society.
This shouldn't be an issue. Who you marry, who you love, what an issue is something like the economy or a perpetual war on terror. Those are issues. Being able to get married to someone of the same sex is not an issue.
This is Chris Cluey, ex-punter for the Minnesota Vikings, avid gamer, and gay equality advocate. He has been hard at work on and off the field, most recently in proudly fighting for gay rights.
I feel it's the right thing to do, and I think athletes should be good role models, especially if you look at the history of sports in America. As athletes, we can make social change. We can have an effect on people's lives, and I think that it's incumbent upon us to do so in a positive way.
You would expect to find gay rights advocates in all walks of life, in politics, in the arts and such, but the sporting world has kept its head down. The subject is as taboo as it was a decade ago, with Cluey and a few others being the only ones to shout about it. Sport is a huge part of Minnesota, one of the most gay-friendly states in the nation, and yet, here, homosexuality and sport often don't come hand in hand. Cluey claims that the sport is lagging in comparison to the rest of society.
There's this misconception that sports is this macho, you know, stereotypical, very, very manly type of thing, and that, you know, that's really how people view it.
The locker room is not a safe place. The fear of being found out and mocked is overwhelming. Gays may feel like they shouldn't even play sports for the way that they could be treated. They do everything to keep their mouths shut or look elsewhere for safer, more welcoming environments to enjoy sports. In a sweaty second floor gym room at the Sabanthony Community Center in South Minneapolis, I watched members of the Gay and Lesbian Amateur Sports Society play one of their weekly volleyball games. I also spoke to player Larry Barthel about his experiences with GLASS and gay sports.
What it does is it provides a nice safe space. You don't have to worry about, you know, somebody seeing like maybe a mannerism or something and calling you out on it. Or, you know, you don't have to feel afraid that somebody's going to find out that you're gay, because everybody here is they just assume that you're gay already. So it provides a nice safe space. You can concentrate on playing the sport and just having fun meeting new people.
Aimed at creating a safe and respectful sport environment, GLASS and many other LGBT organizations invite straights and gays alike to enjoy sport for sport's sake. Alienating themselves from all possible criticism, abuse, and intimidation isn't assimilation. This is segregation. Gay sports are huge within Minnesota, but the fact that they have to exist at all is disconcerting.
Well, in an ideal world, there wouldn't be that striation between gay and straight leagues. It would just be the league, and whether you're gay or straight, you could participate in it and feel comfortable in it. If, you know, eventually, hopefully, that's the kind of the goal. You know, we don't necessarily need a safe space if every space is safe.
Cluey puts all possible hostility and homophobia down to sheer ignorance, but times are changing.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people who hold those views now, it's simply because they haven't met a gay person. They don't know a gay person, and more people are comfortable showing who they are. You know, growing up openly gay, and that means that more and more people are growing up with a gay family member or a gay teammate or a gay friend, and they understand that this isn't something to be afraid of. This isn't something that's going to bring about the end of the world. It's simply who that person is.
What's most interesting about the ongoing move to acceptance is that even if a person isn't comfortable with homosexuality, they will no longer speak against it.
And that's a good thing that it shows about our society, is the fact that athletes know that if they come out against same-sex marriage or gay rights, then they know they're going to get castigated for it, because society is moving towards more tolerance and more acceptance.
I think it's kind of one of those, you know, fake it until you make it kind of things, where, you know, if they have to practice acceptance and equality and tolerance, they eventually just do it out of habit, and it becomes a non-issue after that.
When we look back at this 20 years from now, we'll say, okay, what was the big deal? Why did this even matter? And at that point, no one will really care about it, because it's just accepted that you can be with who you want to be with.
With the passing of the gay marriage bill, homosexuality has officially become a legal and embraced lifestyle. And with this change in mentality, it's only a matter of time before professional American sports are fully affected. Gay acceptance is on the horizon for all parts of society. But some may need to run a few laps and catch up. This is Matt Curtis with Culture Cube.
And that's it for this week's Culture Cube. Tonight you heard stories from Matt Curtis, Parker Lemke, Maddie Hamilton, Mitch Skinner, and Markita Fornoff. Producers for Culture Cube are Markita Fornoff, Amy Friedman, and Matt Curtis. Our culture coach is Sarah Lemanchek, and I'm Mitch Skinner. Culture Cue is online at RadioK.org. We can also be found on iTunes U, Facebook, and Twitter. Next week, we air another rerun. After that, we've got a promising new show featuring a unique look at American cults. Same 6 p.m. time, same Radio K frequency. Goodbye.
Support for this program is brought to you by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.